Great. It's just such an honor to be with you, to see some familiar faces and meet some new faces. My name is Anne. This is my husband, David, that's over there. Yay! He's my better half. He doesn't like me saying that, but it's true. And, it just feels a real honor for me to be here to just, my heart really for today is just to encourage you. You've got a really important week ahead. So I just want to share some stories, open up some scriptures, and share some of the principles that we've been engaging with local houses of prayer, just to see breakthrough, which is what we want to see, isn't it? A kingdom breakthrough on our piece of earth. And I know there's been lots of emails flying around. I just want to say up front that, to be honest, I lead a ministry called Local House of Prayer, which is coming out of a move of God in Wales. But if there is a list in heaven with, you know, really top intercessors and the ones that aren't so good, I just want to say I wouldn't be near the top, okay? I just want to clear that up just in case you know, I'm sure you didn't put me on a pedestal, but I just wanted, and I'm not saying that out of false humility, it's true. So it's a bit of a misnomer for me that I'm leading a ministry called Local Houses of Prayer when, you know, there we are, but I just want to be straight up with you. But I do too want to just start there, because actually it's, I don't know how you feel about prayer, but it's not a bad posture to join with the disciples and say, teach me to pray. You know, that's a pretty good way to start. And I just want to share a scripture and a story along those lines. And the scripture is from... having said that, has anybody not read this book that would like to read it? Yes, I looked for a hand and that went up first. So there you go, have it. just along the lines that I've just said, my favorite line in that book is when a guy who's currently leads the ministry there at Faldobrennan in Wales, it was in a chapel, and Claire will back me up on this, because the chapel is probably not much bigger than this area here. And he was in this chapel, and he said rather similarly to what I've said to you, I just want to say before everybody that's in the chapel and before God that I don't know how to pray. And when he said that, everyone was like, no, you can't say that. Of course you know how to pray. I mean, you're leading a prayer and retreat center. Of course you know how to pray. And he said, no, I need to say that before man and before God. And his thinking was that if I knew how to pray, I would be seeing a greater measure of his breakthrough here on this earth, you know, here on this piece of earth where they were in Wales. So that's why he said that. And that is the favorite line for me in the book. And I just want to read a passage now, and it's from 114. I hope it will come up on the screen, so don't feel you need to turn to it. It's verses 7 and 8. Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turns the rock into a pool of water and the flint into a spring of water. Now, the place, Faldobrennan, which is where... you're not allowed to start reading this book now, by the way. the place is on a place which was called Sycophant, which, forgive me for those who speak Welsh, but I gather that means dry stream. And that same week when Roy was saying, I just want to say I don't know how to pray, the spring waters above Faldobrennan started to flow. And, I mean, even the water board in Wales, you know, they were phoning up. It even reached the regional kind of news that there'd been an unprecedented rise in the water table. And the funny thing is, don't you think there's going to be such laughter in heaven? They even said, actually, could we come and have a meeting at Faldobrennan to discuss this problem? Now, this was around the same time. And I believe that actually what did start to flow was something, you know, how cool. You know, God, the place might have been called dry stream, but God had other plans. And I believe that for you as well here. You know, that there is a song, there is something on this land and in this place. And I know you've been a very much a missional church, but there's something there that's special. You might feel that you're somewhere out in London, but there might just be something really significant here. that God wants to birth. And that's my prayer for you this week as you come together and give of your time, together, you know, individually and together, that God may do something really quite extraordinary. So I just wanted to start that because it's kind of cool when God starts confirming in the natural what he's doing in the supernatural. And I mean, I may be right, I may be wrong, but I believe actually the spring waters that are beginning to flow there aren't just for Felderbrunnen, they're not just for Wales, but they're for the nations. I'm actually on my way. My suitcase is in Darren's office to Sierra Leone to meet with a whole lot of guys from all over West Africa to share about some of these principles. Something is stirring. Something is stirring. And I think God's just calling up an army of ordinary people, sometimes in some very ordinary places, to join in with what he's doing. So there we go. There's the tremble, O earth, and he turns the rocks into pools of water. I just want to share a few stories. Now, hear me right here. Felderbrunnen is a little place, and Claire will back me up on this. We're a bunch of very broken people on a land where there's been some measure of breakthrough, but we've got a long way yet to go. So I'm not sort of putting this up as, oh, you know, we've sort of arrived. But why I want to share some stories is I want to inspire you for your place. Because I actually believe that God has no favorites in people or in places. And so when I tell these stories, it's not so that you just think, oh, I must go to this place, never heard of it before, can't quite pronounce it, but I want to go to this place. You're very welcome to try. But my point is that in the testimony of Jesus, Revelation 19:10, is the spirit of prophecy. So when we tell the stories of what God is doing, what God has done, it's a proclamation. This is Charles Spurgeon. It's a proclamation of what he wants to do again. So as I tell some stories, just start dreaming for your land, even your place this week. And so they have a very simple rhythm of prayer, and it's kind of quite cool. To be honest, I go to an Anglican church in our community, but it's very, very simple. They have morning, evening, night. Morning, midday, evening, and night prayers. But just to, I'm looking for a gentleman with a check shirt. I mean, just to, yeah, I'm looking at you now. So, you know, sometimes we rejoice in what God does, but we miss the journey and the process. And there's something even more important in the process to capture. So there was a couple there who wanted to celebrate their wedding anniversary there, and they'd never heard of this place, but somebody said, oh, go to Felderbrunnen. So they decided to go to Felderbrunnen. They missed midday prayers. The lady burst into tears because she missed midday prayers, which is only 15 minutes long. So that's a pretty disproportionate reaction. But by the time it came, she listened to a copy of this book by the High Cross and joined the evening prayers. And a volunteer from Canada, not a great anointed man or woman of God, was leading evening prayers. And he just read out the liturgy and said, wherever there is spiritual or physical darkness, may your light shine. And at that moment, the lady across the room looked across at a gentleman who was wearing a check shirt. She was blind, and she received her sight. She wasn't even that excited about going home because she'd never seen her 8-year-old daughter. And she wasn't sure how she was going to react or her daughter was going to react. Now, hear the process here. There's a place, a simple place, where there's been some measure of breakthrough. You are each from a place, a piece of earth, a land, whether that's a workplace or a government office or a street or a community. And then there's a measure of breakthrough. And then God just does some stuff. And the people of God just bless what he's doing. Isn't that kind of cool? I've got at least one nod. In many ways, very understated. You know, I think sometimes there's stuff that I really don't understand, but I think we need to jump into the mysteries of God that we don't understand. If we just hold on to the revelation and don't really embrace the mysteries, we can be in danger of creating God in our own image. This is a very simple place. Sam was talking, it's a bit like Narnia or, you know, the Shire or something. It has got that element. I mean, to be honest, when I went there, now dream about this for your land. When I went there, I didn't have an overwhelming sense of the presence of God when I first went there, any more than I have done in my own sitting room. But the story I love about this is that There's an Eritrean guy, and he went to, in fact, it was a group, because I don't know about you, but I'm done with religion. I'm just really hungry for the presence of God. Really hungry for the presence, the manifest presence of God. And these guys were there for evening prayers, night prayers. And then it was quite obvious from the way they looked that they hadn't gone to bed. So somebody who was leading the morning prayers was, what's the problem? Did you not go to bed? Oh, no, that wasn't, but the bed's not comfortable. And he said, no, that wasn't the problem. The problem was when we tried to go to bed and we opened the chapel door, there was a really large angel standing outside. And we didn't, I love your face. And we didn't know how to greet him. So we decided to go back into the chapel for the rest of the night. When you start to see an increase of the prophetic, an increase of the angelic, and signs and wonders, even though it might be quite simple, just the Bible would encourage us to just pay attention. Just to pay attention and take note. I love what Darren was saying about prayer. And Justin Welby, Archbishop, said something very similar at a New Wine conference some years ago. And to a room, it must have been full of about 5,000 people. Some of you may have been there. He said, before any new move of God, there is a new wave, a new expression of prayer. That is church history. And then he said, and the established church generally oppose it. Very unfortunately, that is also church history. And he said, and I'll look at these empty seats just in case I get myself into trouble. He said, looking at the bishops in the front row, and we will oppose it. He was joking by that stage. But the point is there. And one of the things that I believe, he didn't say this bit, but I believe that God is doing is to restore a ministry of speaking, ministering blessings. Not praying a blessing prayer, but standing in the delegated authority that God has given each one of us and speaking it and releasing his blessings. And it's a different posture, and it's something, it's not new, but it's something that I believe that we've lost in many churches. And as we've traveled along around the world, actually, I think many would agree. I mean, I just remember these ladies in Bangladesh with tears running down their faces, just saying, I didn't know that I could do this. There's an interesting book called The Widening Circle by a guy called Graham Tomlin, who's a bishop in London, and he leads St. Melitus Church. The subtitle of it is Priesthood, God's Way of Blessing the World. You know, as we long for a greater measure of breakthrough in our communities, I think we need to understand that this is the priesthood of all believers. And we have a responsibility and a joy to be people who stand in his presence, carry his presence, and speak and release his blessings into our communities. Restoration of blessing and a sound of the kingdom. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, the blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing, people with extraordinary, you know, skin diseases are being healed. I am not saying that everybody who goes there is miraculously healed. I've just gone through a toughest battle, health battle, and I might talk about that a bit later. But there is something that is happening, the sound of the kingdom. And we need to be a people like Elijah who hear the sound of the abundance of rain. You know, remember that story? He sent his servant out seven times before, but he could hear the sound before the servant could even see a cloud the size of a hand. And we need to be a people who hear the sound of the kingdom. Now, I just want to share a testimony. Just this is my own testimony when I first went to Felderbrunnen. And I didn't have an amazing sense of the presence of God. I didn't see any angels. I didn't, like, it really was very understated and, you know, normal. And but God did two things for me. We were with a sort of a two-day conference, and I mean, people travel all over the world to go to this funny little place. And there were a whole bunch of Australians, and they were talking about stuff I didn't really understand, about horses, prophetic stuff, and I didn't really understand what they were talking about. But we got into the car, and a friend, in fact, I'm trying to think of her name, Tinkerbell, Hillary, you don't know Hillary. Okay, she's like Tinkerbell. She just sort of randomly said, what we need is Jesus to come on the white horse. Now, she didn't know that I live in Oxfordshire in the Vale of the White Horse. And we had had prophetic words over our land about Jesus and the White Horse. And it wasn't that I'd forgotten it, but I was so wrapped in my own disappointment of the things that I was longing to see and my real situation. I can't describe it. And when I went there and she said that, I thought, I remember. I remember that. I remember what Jesus had said. And it was the beginning for me of a restoration of hope. I mean, actually God did two things. It was the beginning of a restoration of hope. And then there was this conference about local houses of prayer, which, to be honest, I didn't really understand much about. But I thought, oh, well, that looks simple enough. I might be able to do that. So there was a combination of a restoration of hope and something, you know, like Moses, what have you got in your hand? I'm like, well, I've got this. I could potentially do that. Now, the reason I say stuck in Haran, because sometimes, you know, Abraham and Terah were on their way to Canaan. But Terah, Abraham's father, died in this place. We don't know why they settled there. And sometimes we can settle in a place. Sometimes the promises of God are on the other side of all sorts of stuff. And we have to navigate that stuff. In fact, just to tell you a bit about my stuff. So I'd had this word just recently where somebody said, oh, Anne, I saw you riding on a white horse tucked behind Jesus with a smile on your face and wind in your hair. And I like, oh, this is cool. I like that. Well, within 3 months, 2 months maybe, somebody, I'd just been diagnosed with a tumor on the breast, and somebody who didn't even know me wrote exactly the same words. I saw you on a white horse with a smile on your face and wind in your hair. When I was having my first chemotherapy, I was by this other guy who was having a blood transfusion, and I said, and I realized they lived in the Vale of the White Horse, and I said, maybe I'll see you one day walking on the White Horse Hill, just a throwaway comment. And this lady said, yes, with wind in your hair. And she was like, I don't know why I said that. And I'm like, I know why you said that. But you know, within a month, no, 3 weeks, when we took the cross up White Horse Hill, which is in Oxfordshire, which we do every Good Friday, there wasn't just wind in the hair, there was hair in the wind. All my hair was coming out. Now that's a very dramatic kind of like, but I just want to encourage you. That, you know, if you've got a promise of God, even if the enemy comes against you and said, did he really say that? Look at you. Choose to worship God for his goodness, because you'll never have an opportunity to give him a greater sacrifice of worship or praise. So I just want to encourage you and I want to bless you. If anybody can relate to promises of God that feel out there, but actually need to be renewed, and they need to be renewed as you enter into this week of prayer. So I just want to bless you now. Let's just welcome the Holy Spirit now. Let's just welcome the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. So I want to bless you now in Jesus' name, that at the beginning of this week, that the Lord may remind you that he may fan into flame all that he's said to you, all the promises that he's said to you, that you may have forgotten about or got stuck somewhere, or things, criticism, betrayal, delays, disappointment, all the things that may have come against you. I want to bless you now in Jesus' name, that hope may rise again afresh, that you may take hold of the things that he has said. And know that he is faithful, that he has not forgotten. I bless those things in your hearts, that they, even in your night watches over this week, that he may remind you the things that he has said, the things that he has promised, not just for your family, not just for your community, but this whole area. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I actually believe, and I might be right, I might be wrong, but I believe, by the way, this is my hair now. Still growing, but it is my hair. And I can feel the wind in my hair. And I believe there's an acceleration going on. I don't know whether anyone can sort of sense that, but God is on the move. I'd heard about these two ladies, and I want to encourage you, because, you know, God is never worried about numbers. I'd heard that there were two ladies that were still alive during the Hebridean revival, that had been alive during the Hebridean revival. And I'd just come back from Nepal, India, Bangladesh, and 3 days later, my husband is very tolerant with me. I had this thing, I wanted to go and sit at their feet. I wanted to hear their stories. And I'd been in Northeast Fife, and I'd share these two verses about, you know, the vision is for an appointed time. Abraham and Sarah had to wait a long time to have a son, but then there was the time. And I was sitting at these two ladies' feet, and they were reminiscing about the move of God that they'd experienced in the Hebridean revival. You know, Doris was saying, oh, do you remember that? Even the ships that were going past in the sea knew that the presence of God had landed. I sat at the feet of a guy whose father was the guy who said, Lord, you're a covenant-keeping God. You have promised to pour out the water on the dry ground. And then he said, and your honor is now at stake. I mean, seriously? And it was at that point that the building shook. So we were in that kind of company, and I said to Doris, just sitting by the coal fire as she reminisced about the stories, do you think that God might be renewing his works? And she quoted back to me these same two verses, which made me think, do you know what? This isn't just my vague hope. God is on the move. So I just bless you with that. I may be right, I may be wrong, but, you know, I have that sense, and I can feel an acceleration, and I hope you can too, a stirring in your heart. Do you know the promises of God, though, always come, or mainly come, with an if. If, my people. You know, God could do all of this by himself, but he chooses to do stuff with us. And I think this is the challenge for all of you and for all of us. We're not going through, I'll be in Sierra Leone, but to really sense that I have a responsibility to be part of the releasing of this new move of God as I step into the army. And let me tell you something. You know, one of my sons works in drug and alcohol rehabilitation. And he said to me, Mom, would you come and share about local house of prayer? He didn't say that. He said, I'm thinking of starting a local house of prayer in the drug and alcohol rehab center. And I'm like, oh, that's a nice idea. Shall I come and share something about it? You know, he said, oh, yeah, that would be nice. And as he said, yes, that'd be nice. I'm asking the Lord, am I just doing this to help my son, or are you showing me a strategic door? Was my question. And I shared my story just like I've shared with you. And you know, there were six people there, you know, and these were guys, some of them had had six stab wounds, some of them had just come out of prison, you know, they were on the brink. And one guy came up to me and he said, Anne, you know that stuff about Jesus and the white horse? I said, yes. He said, I was in a prison cell. And I had a vision of Jesus coming on the white horse. And the Holy Spirit filled my prison cell. And then the next minute, he went off. And next minute, another guy comes up. He says, Anne, you know that stuff about Jesus and the white horse? I said, yes. He said, my wife, she's a Christian and she has dreams. And she had this dream some time ago of Jesus and the white horse pulling me up onto the white horse. And I'm like, okay, I'm hearing. And the verse that has come to mind is Isaiah 61. He's coming, the Spirit of the Lord is upon us to set the captives free. But verse 4 says, they will be the ones who rebuild the broken walls. Those who have been set free will be the ones who will be the architects of the new culture. And this is part of the army that God is raising up. So I want to say to you, wherever you are in your Christian life, or even at the beginning of it, not only that God loves you and is passionately pursuing you, but he has a plan and a purpose for you to be an instrument of his grace in some of the communities that you may have moved out of as you come and face the one who loves him. So I share that with you, that we have a responsibility. And this is the army. I love this passage of Ezekiel 37. We won't dwell on it, but it's this sense of the people without hope who are dry and are cut off. And actually, God has plans for them. A vast army begins to rise up. And I think there's a sense of we're seeing this across the nations.
So what is Local House of Prayer? Well, I've been seeing some of the emails that have been flying around, and Darren already mentioned it about my piece of earth. All of us will be established in a place. You know, it might be a social network group, it might be a street, it might be a community, but actually, this is my piece of earth. And what I'm contending for, and I hope this is your prayer for this week and in the weeks that go on, my prayer for you guys actually is that God, you know, this might be a step up, that God really does some stuff in you this week that you can actually then carry on as a lifestyle, in a simple lifestyle, into the plans and purposes that he has for you. I'm watching you. I'm just kind of, sometimes I watch, and I like watching you guys, because this place has come up more than once, and I don't think it's a coincidence. So I'm just watching you guys, and I'd love to hear your stories as they emerge. But the Local House of Prayer, the vision is, this is my piece of earth, and I want to see God's kingdom come in power on this piece of earth as it is in heaven. Okay? This is what we're contending for. And you know, you might think, oh, Anne, that's stretching it a bit. But I mean, when Jesus said, your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven, you know, that's how he taught us to pray. It wasn't just that he was going to, oh, that will keep them out of mischief. That will keep them busy. No, this is his will, that his kingdom will come in power on this piece of earth, that there'll be some measure of breakthrough in this part of London. And even the rest of London may say, wow, that's got to be God, because those guys look, I mean, with all due respect, you know, an ordinary group of people, and that sounds like an ordinary kind of place. That's exactly the places that God loves to come, because then all the glory goes to him. It's not about the flashing everything. Do you know what? To be honest, I don't like platforms and I don't like microphones. I understand that I need them, but the reason I don't like them is I don't like what it does to people on the platforms, and I don't like what it does to people who aren't on the platforms, because what God is doing is raising up this army of ordinary people, and every one of us, whether we're old or whether we're young, we get to play in it. We've seen extraordinary things as just the children in our street are hearing the voice of God. They have no faith at all. Well, I'm beginning to think they do, actually. But you know what I mean? They're ordinary people in our community, and we're seeing God move in them. Oh, I'll tell you a story on that, actually. Let me tell you a story. I've got a few moments. So literally, we bless. This is a good strategy for you to do this week, even outside your street. Bless the ears of those that walk down your street and walk around your community, that they may hear the voice of God. So we start doing this. We live in a rural area in Oxfordshire, and kids and everyone walks their dogs down the street and rides their horses down our lane, and it goes into the fields. And as we were doing this, we heard about this little school party, including at that time he was 5 years old, from our street, from our little street. And he was walking down the lane with his school. And the teacher says, okay, boys and girls, close your eyes. What can you hear? Now, this wasn't a religious studies lesson. This was, I think, a nature thing. You know, oh, I can hear the birds twittering. This little five-year-old boy from our street puts up his hand and says, I can hear God speaking to me. Oh, says the teacher, who's not a Christian either. That's nice. What did he say? He told me to lie down on the grass and pray to Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but when God starts speaking to what we're seeing, beginning to see in our community, is that there's a dance going on between the people of God, the community, and the Holy Spirit. And we're actually beginning to hear the voice of God through people in our community, even the five-year-old boys. Let me tell you one thing. That this little boy, because he kind of comes and he helps us stack our logs. By the way, he's not angelic in any shape or form. But he comes and helps us stack our logs. And then I said, how's your prayer life going? Which I would generally not ask anybody, and certainly not want anyone to ask me. But, you know, he did. And he said, oh, very well. I've got these prayers on my notice board and everything. And then he says, have you got a moment? And I'm like, He said, get yourself a pen and a piece of paper. And so I did. I called in reinforcements and my husband come in, and he said this, and I say it to you, never give up. You are important to God, and he is watching over you. Spread happiness and look after yourself. I mean, seriously? you know, it's just his eyes go big. I mean, he's as naughty as you can get them. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, just God is going to use the old, the young, and there's a dance going on. And let's watch this space and jump in the party. I just want to just pick up on some of the principles. I'm going to ask my husband to come up here. But one of the things that God has really been restoring is this idea of speaking, standing in his presence, carrying his presence. We're not just to be carriers of his word that we, you know, but actually carriers of his presence. You know, that actually we might walk into, there's a guy, I can't remember his name now, Alan Scott. He'd say, you know, I walk into a room, I would expect the atmosphere to change. You know, as there's, it's the encounter in his presence, and may this really land for some of you, it's the encounter in his presence that equips us to be the transformational people for our community. There is no shortcut on this. So may this week be a week of greater intimacy for you as you dwell in his presence and as you carry his presence and speak and release his blessings in the community. Does anybody want to receive a blessing? I don't know if anybody wants to receive. I'm taking that as a smile and a yes. Is that okay? You didn't put your hand up, but you did smile at me. Okay, could you come up? That's great. And my husband here. I just want to demonstrate something because we're going to be activating some of this stuff after lunch, but I know many of you won't be able to get here. Just remind me your name. It's Catherine. So if my husband's a really cool guy, isn't he? I mean, you've got to agree. He likes to think he looks like Sting, and some people have said, but anyway, moving on swiftly. I'm going to ask him to pretend to be God. Okay, just for the purpose of illustration. So if I was praying for Catherine, I would be standing in the gap, wouldn't I, between Catherine and God. And we need to keep on doing this, okay? So Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for Catherine. And I ask that you would move powerfully in her life and through all that she lays her hands to. And particularly this week, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay? So that's intercession. But one of the things is that we need to be like a bird with two wings, with intercession and speaking, not praying a blessing prayer. If I prayed a blessing prayer, I can pray a blessing prayer, but that is still prayer. There's something here about speaking blessings. So I'm going to ask my husband to put his shoulders on mine. And I'm just going to say, help, Lord. I really... So, and because I'm speaking a blessing, I'm going to look at Catherine. I don't mind if she doesn't want to look at me, but I'm going to look at Catherine. And I start by saying, I bless you, Catherine, in Jesus' name, that he may. And if you want the references of this, look at the Aaronic blessing. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless. So that's what's happening. I'm almost putting a target, a time bomb on Catherine, and the Holy Spirit will come and bless. So Catherine, I bless you now in Jesus' name. I bless your yes. I bless the sacrifice of your yes. And I bless you, Catherine, in this new season that God has for you, that his grace may be sufficient for every need that you have. And I bless you, Catherine, that as you have moved out in obedience, that you may see grace after grace after grace after grace, sufficient for every need for your family. And I bless you, Catherine, that as you have said yes to him, that you may be a channel of extraordinary divine blessing, not just for your family, but for your community. And so I bless you, Catherine, that you may know that he has not passed you by, that he has sought you out, that he has counted you worthy, that he trusts you. And I bless you that you may dream the crazy, outrageous dreams as you have reached out your hands for those that are broken, for those that he loves, that you may see extraordinary things coming through you in the simple things of life and in the extraordinary things of life. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so you'd get the difference here. And this is something, we'll be activating it more, but we can do as we walk down our streets, as we It's the same principle as we bless our communities, as we bless the schools, as we bless the marriages, as we bless the relationships. And the key thing here is the presence of God. And I'm running rapidly out of time, but it's just to make the point. When Aaron spoke that blessing, not a lot happened. But when Moses and Aaron said, no, 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 Moses had come into the tent of meeting, and out of that place of meeting, when he did it again, fire fell and everyone was flat on their faces. So the presence of God is absolutely at the key of all of what we're talking about. So there we go. We're not going to get into the details of what we do in local houses of prayer, but I just wanted to highlight blessing, intercession, presence of God, and we'll be looking at some of these pieces a bit more in the afternoon. David will hand out in a moment a little pack there, and in it has got what we practically do in our local houses of prayer. And I just would encourage you that actually you might have five people this week who you commit to pray for and bless for 5 minutes a day for 5 days. Okay, so I just put that out as a challenge for you this week. Also, you might find somebody else on your patch that you can meet with this week, you know, that lives in the same or is passionate about government offices or whatever it is. You can meet with this week and actually do there's some simple things on the back of that card where you just invite the manifest presence of God, where you begin to speak blessings over this area. And say the Lord's Prayer and come into agreement for those that you're individually praying for this week, just to encourage one another. So I just leave that as a little challenge. David's got some little cards that he's going to hand out. But I just leave that as a challenge for you. And I just want to just bless you all now, if I can. Help me, Lord. So I just bless you at the beginning of this week. I bless the fire that is in your hearts, the longing that you have for more. And I bless that fire that it'll be a fire that you cannot contain and you cannot control. And I bless you in Jesus' name. I bless your eyes to see the things that are beginning to break through, the green shoots that are beginning to break through. I bless you to seal to feel the things that is breaking the Lord's heart as you walk the streets in your community, that you and your community will never be the same again. In Jesus' name. Amen.